is appealed, and the Bud Light is brewed with both of those things. New for summer, it's Bud Light Lemon Tea. Brewed on real lemon peels, aged on real tea leaves, and best served in a round-like ice pitcher. You like ice pitchers? Yeah, you do. I can tell. It's in the eyes.
Enjoy responsibly. 2019 Anheuser-Busch Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, Frank. I'm in Europe right now. I've never said those words in my whole life. It just seems weird to say that. I'm in Europe, but I am. And while I'm away, I want to make sure that certain things don't change. One, you keep listening to 590 The Fan while we're gone. Don't let my absence stop you. You're in good hands with Trevor Limestone Limey Phillips, okay? And the other thing is, remember that if you're shopping for a vehicle, you need to get yourself into Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. Now, yes, you can shop online. You can start it there, Londoff.com. But you need the experience of dealing with the people at Johnny Londoff, because quite frankly, that is what separates them from the other dealers, is the way you're treated. So at some point, even if you start online, you're going to want to get in there, touch it, feel it, sit in it, drive it, and shake some hands of the people who make the car buying experience something other than something to dread. It should not be something you dread. It should be exciting. Getting a new car, even if your new car is a pre-owned vehicle, should be a big deal. And they're going to make sure it is. And one other thing, if they don't have what you're looking for, let's say you're looking for pre-owned, tell them what you're looking for. They'll bust their butts to find it. That's what they did for me. I still have my 2004 Trailblazer they found for me, and I love it. So remember, Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, and of course 24/7 at Londoff.com.
Looking for extra cash? Jewels on Hampton and St. Louis Hills pay some of the highest prices for diamonds, gold, silver, semi-precious stones, coins, flatware, and currency. Located at 4506 Hampton Avenue, just three blocks south of Chippewa. Learn more at jewelsonhampton.com or call 314-752-5000. That's 314-752-5000. Jewels on Hampton, paying some of the highest prices.
It's not summer grilling season until you hear the sizzle of quality Hatfield pork hit the grill while friends and family anxiously await their first serving. That's because Hatfield comes from pork experts who deliver easy-to-prepare varieties of deliciously marinated tenderloins, loin fillets, chops, and ribs. They come with a pledge to quality right on the package. And once they get a taste, everyone will be back for seconds. Get the pork that makes grilling more interesting at Schnucks and visit simplyhatfield.com for more info.
With standards of personalized service unmatched in the area and a highly trained staff, the Gatesworth has been designed to provide the most exceptional environment possible. Centrally located just minutes from everything downtown Clayton offers, the Gatesworth features three different restaurants headed by an award-winning chef, weekly musical performances and lectures, a spa, a movie theater, and even a putting green. The Gatesworth, striving to make the lives of residents more convenient, enjoyable, and vibrant. Visit thegatesworth.com for more information.
Hey there, this is Reed Lowe, former St. Louis Blue, talking to you today about one of the best things that's ever happened to me, mentality. The low testosterone treatment that's completely changed my life. About 3 years ago, I just felt like I was running on energy all day long. Well, Cam Jansen, my good buddy, introduced me to this testosterone treatment, and it's been an absolute lifesaver. I feel great. My days are full of energy. Lost some weight. Everything's going real good. If you need some help, hit lowtusa.com. Get all your information you need. LowTUSA.com.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
It is Tuesday afternoon of the 4 o'clock hour. We all know that is the hour that we welcome in our movie critic and TV review grandmaster of all things movies and TV. Give it up for one Dan Buffa.
Hello. How's everybody doing today?
Buff Dog, we're doing good. Scott Sherman's here in the studio with us today to help have some fun with you in this 4 o'clock hour.
Great to see you.
And I'm gonna see you too. I'm gonna switch this up a little differently than Frank does. I kind of pull a little Bill Clevin. I got some movie lines I want to throw you guys' way. We'll splice it in with your segment and see if you guys can guess.
What hey movie Dan,
it's from.
Hi Dan.
You ever get confused with Dan Buck?
Only on Thursdays.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Before we get into Dan's segment, I want to get to Steve. He's been on hold. Dan suggested we get to Steve. He's got a good story to carry over from the last hour. We'll get right to Dan's segment. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. AM and the PM, of course.
Thank you, sir.
So that story reminded me of something that I did just this weekend.
Which story?
Oh, cooked meth?
Was that you on my porch? I thought that
the guy sleeping on his back porch and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
So it was one of those rainy days, and I was just going out to get dinner, right?
Yep.
So I'm just casually driving, and I see a man with a cane walking down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I get closer, and it turns out he's got one eye, like one's taken over by glaucoma or an accident or something. And I decide, I'm very callous, and I don't do this anymore. I decide I'm going to help him. So I stop, say, hey, you want to get out of the rain? And I'm like, hey, you hopped in the car. Tells me the story about how he's homeless, and that he's just trying to get back to downtown Alton so he can meet his girlfriend. Which I'm assuming she was homeless too at this moment, and she was. And so we finally get down there, and he says, is there any way I could get something to eat tonight? Yeah, so I take him to the dollar store, and I buy a bunch of canned food, and I get him set up. And we travel back, we meet his girlfriend, and she has a peg leg.
Oh, no.
Is this a joke?
If this is the would I hair lip joke, we've heard it.
No.
This is not that joke. I know that joke. This is not that joke.
Okay.
I come back, she has a peg leg.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I'm glad I could do everything I could. Where you stay tonight? And he says, well, I'm not from around here. I don't really know. I say, well, the Salvation Army's a few blocks away. I could drop you there. I know they have shelter. And here is where it kicks in. He says, I already went there. I can't stay because I'm on the registered sex offender list.
Oh, nice. Well.
It gets better. So I know a couple of the churches in the area. So I start to contact them. They don't have a place for him. He's like, we'll be okay. We'll be good tonight. Thank you for your gracious gift and all that. And like, well, I'm glad to help. The very next day, I wake up and I normally check the Alton News, the Telegraph. And there was a man and a woman arrested behind the Alton Telegraph who were staying the night. And guess who they were?
Those two?
No way.
Yep.
Oh, why were they arrested?
For vagrancy, because they stayed the night there.
Oh.
He got an extra charge because he was wanted for the sex offense.
What a horrible person.
Wow.
She had a peg leg, he had one eye, and he was a registered sex offender, and they got arrested for vagrancy.
Should have taken him to Westport.
Yeah.
Coming in that way.
Oh, man.
Take him to Westport.
Take him to Scott's house. His porch
is
open.
Put him on the porch.
What I did with my people.
He's coming to Netflix
they're
in next year.
Steve, that was a four-minute story. Probably a two-minute story turned into a four-minute story, but it was still a good story.
Was his girlfriend's name Eileen?
Was his name Captain Black? Steve, thanks for your call.
Oh, we'll give that a four episodes on Netflix instead of six.
Hey Dan, how many ARDs you give that story?
I don't know. I think it started honest. It started really slow, but then it really got better as it went along. So I'll give it a solid three.
Give him three ARDs.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good one. I was waiting for it to pick up.
All right, Dan.
All right, I'm gonna do one movie line. You got to guess who it is, and then we're gonna get into your first movie or TV segment, and then every time you switch it up, I'm gonna do a different movie line. And now here's the rule. All right. You got to wait for me to drop my hand because that's when the line's over. You say your name and then you say the movie that it's from. Okay.
Dan Buck.
So I put my hand in the air. When I drop it, that means I'm done.
Okay.
All right. You guys ready?
I'm kind of nervous. I'm not good at trivia.
Does Dan get the first
No.
This is like Bill Cloveland trivia. This is like Bill Cloveland Madhouse trivia.
That's why I'm
here. Okay, can I just say Buffa and then I get to answer?
Yes. Yeah. You say, right.
Good stuff.
Say Buffa. Yeah, you say Buffa and you say Dan. So okay. We don't have two Dans, okay?
Strauss.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, here we go. Ready? I was just going to turn you in for the reward money, but Doc says she wants something to cuddle. So I guess we'll be calling the baby Glenn Jr. from now on.
Scott.
Yep.
Raising Arizona.
Hey! Oh, I was thinking that. I couldn't remember the name.
I was right there. I was going to say it, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
That was the fear again. I don't like trivia. I fear I'm just going to be wrong, and they're like, you're an idiot. That happens once a day anyway.
Scott's up 1-0. What do you got first for us, Dan? Buffa, since there's two Dan.
See, now I'm thinking about Raising Arizona. That's a good movie.
That's
Nicolas Cage at his full-blown craziness.
That's Tex Cobb riding in on a motorcycle with a tattoo on his arm that says, Mama didn't love me.
Where he's grabbing the baby off the ground. It's like, that's not good. That's not good child care. Is that a real baby in there?
John Goodman's in that,
John
right?
Goodman broke out of prison. He broke out of prison in that movie.
That's right.
John Goodman, back in the day when there weren't even names.
Yep.
A big movie came out this weekend. Mm-hmm. Toy Story 4.
All right.
It's the first sequel. Again, these movies are coming out. Like, this is the first sequel in 9 years. So everybody knows the story. It started in 1995. Disney and Pixar, this is like their first big hit. Woody voiced by Tom Hanks. Tim Allen doing Buzz Lightyear. They are toys in a room that come to life when their owners are not around. And I always thought that was a great concept because I always thought, you know, I had a lot of toys, G.I. Joes as a kid. It's like, you know, what happens when I leave the room?
Action figures, man.
Yeah, would you have watched these movies if you didn't have a young son?
Yes. I mean, in 95 and even like in 2010 when the last one came out, I was kind of ready for it because lately this month we've got a lot of like, you know, kind of tacked on sequels. Men in Black International just felt like they were just trying to, let's just put the Thor in a movie and see if it makes money. Mm-hmm. The Secret Life of Pets 2 came out. And I watched that, and that just kind of felt like there's nothing going on here. But
I liked it, though. We went.
You know
saw
what,
it.
Dan Strauss Buck, this is not your.
No, we should have a duel.
We should have a duel where you have to like just do a review of that movie back and forth.
He's allowed to disagree with you.
He's a Dan. He can't disagree with me.
Well, we saw it, and we kind of liked it.
You know,
at least you saw
it. It was basically the same type of premise.
You guys at least watched the movies.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great review. It's the same kind of movie.
Person that didn't watch them and then review them.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you just came in and said, did you see the movie? No.
This person would argue with you.
No, you watched the trailer, and I watched the movie, and then we'll just do a review. Those 2 minutes were riveting.
Review the trailer.
I give you guys tons of credit for sitting through all that stuff.
It's not easy, and you have to pick the ones. You got to be rightfully picky when it comes to movies, because there was like 5 movies that came out this week. But Toy Story 4, unlike the other sequels, is a good one. It's worth it. The movie returns the focus to Tom Hanks' Woody, you know, the old cowboy who was the original toy, who always kind of feels like he's kind of left out. They get into another adventure. The voice work in this movies are great. I mean, if you get Tom Hanks to do 4, you know, animated films, Tim Allen's great. Keanu Reeves does the best Keanu Reeves. He plays a guy called Duke Kaboom.
Did you say Keanu Reeves does the best Keanu Reeves?
He does. He basically plays himself in this movie.
Okay.
He plays an evil Knievel-like toy who's full of himself. He's from Canada. He goes, Duke Kaboom. Whoa. Yeah. Look at this. He's doing all kinds of moves with his bike. And it's just basically, Keanu, we want you to be Keanu. That's it. But he kind of steals the show for the new characters. But it's a really fun story. It's heartfelt. I didn't think they could really top Toy Story 3. The way they ended that movie, I thought that's it. I mean, it's an emotional send-off. But this one manages to match it. I don't know how they do it. Every film, for me, seems to get better and better. Usually with sequels, they get worse and worse because they feel like they're just kind of going for the money and they're trying to make a little bit of a little commercialism. But this is a good movie, and I think they could do 5. And that's very unlike a movie series to be able to go, okay, we want a fifth things. But with an animated film like this, and it's Disney, it's Pixar, they can't really miss with these movies. So I give it a 3.5.
3.5 ARDs for Toy Story 4. Give it to him, Limey.
All right, Dan.
Now it's 3.5 out of 4 possible
That's
stars,
3.5
right?
out of 4.
Did you like all the other Toy Story sequels?
You know, I did. I'm going to have to go back and watch them, though, because the second one kind of appears kind of vague to me. That the third one was great because they wrapped it up in a great way, but I don't know. I mean,
the second one was the guy that owned that store, right?
Yeah.
It was like Newman, wasn't it?
They always kind of seemed to get in an adventure. I know the first one was the kid with the explosives next door, right?
Yeah,
the
that
first
was
one,
Sid.
I think, came out when I was 9 years old, and yeah, that's the one where I think Buzz gets thrown out the window.
Yeah.
Oh. Adventure. I can remember that.
All right, movie line trivia again. You guys ready?
Yep.
I'm ready.
Here comes the second one. I have to do two of these. We've got nine of them, and I know you got five movies to review, so I'll do two real quick ones. Okay, now this one is a combo. This is a line, and then it's the return line from the individual. I'm going to do both of them here. Okay, ready? So here it comes. Ready? On three. Ready? One, two, three. So, where are you from, Texas? Don't you
Scott.
Ever touch me again.
Oh.
Scott.
You're disqualified because you didn't wait for me to drop my hand.
Scott. Oh, I got Dan.
Dan.
Stripes.
Gosh. Stripes.
Oh. Is that what you were going to say, Scott?
Yep. Yeah.
Where are you from, Tex?
Stripes it is. John.
He jumped the gun. And the thing is, he knew it before you finished the quote,
John,
which is kind
Candy.
Of a...
I knew
John Candy.
And people ate John Candy.
That's what I get all the time. People think I look like John Candy.
Yeah.
No, you sound like John. You don't look
like
John.
If they make an Uncle Buck, you're in it. That's all there is to Uncle Buck.
Cousin
too.
Buck.
Okay, we'll do one more before your next movie review. Cousin
Let's
Buck.
Do it.
Okay.
I believe Nina Hartley was in this.
There's a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas.
Sorry for ruining that.
Here's one more. Okay, ready? Here it comes. $50 says he picks his nose.
Oh, Dan.
$50 says he eats it.
Scott.
Oh.
Scott.
Caddyshack.
Caddyshack.
Oh.
I told you I'm not good at this. I'm feeling good.
Well, I jumped the gun,
that's
too.
Terrible right
I looked
now.
Up and his hand was still
I'm
up.
I'm telling anything. You, when I was in high school.
We'll do our own next week.
Yeah, right.
That's how my friends and I talked. We didn't even talk to each other. We would just do Stripes and Caddyshack back and forth to each other, and maybe a little Animal House. That's,
all right.
That's what
we got a Raising Arizona and a Stripes and a Caddyshack out of the way. I went to the kindergarten box early. They get tougher as we go along. Toy Story 4 got 3.5 ARDs. Dan Buffett is in the house. What's next?
Well, you know, having a lot of movies every week, I kind of ran. I didn't really review Dark Phoenix, did I, Limey? The new X-Men film that came out a couple weeks ago. It's been kind of banished because critics didn't like it.
It's got panned, doesn't it?
They've been making these things for 20 years. I mean, they keep kind of doing the same story. But Dark Phoenix featured Jean Grey. Who is played by Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones. She plays the title character. Mm-hmm. And they bring back Michael Fassbender, who I think is really good as Magneto. They bring back James McAvoy as Professor X. Yep. And, you know, Simon Kinberg did this movie. And he's a good screenwriter. He knows what he's doing. But this is one of those films where I thought that the studio cut the final film and he didn't do it. You know, I think that we're going to find out his film later. This happens to a lot of movies where the director doesn't get final cut, where they make a movie and they shoot like 3 hours of footage, and then they go, okay, we'll take the footage, we'll cut the movie, and then we'll give your unedited cut.
So basically, the company, who is it, Paramount or Sony or whatever?
Yeah,
they've just taken
20th
all of
Century
this footage
Fox,
and
which
tried
is,
to fit it in.
Yeah, they're kind of like fighting with Marvel right now for their characters. So this is probably going to be the last X-Men film before Marvel reintroduces these characters. And I think that nothing's ever going to top what they did with Hugh Jackman's Wolverine with Logan. That's just a great finale.
It was.
And so this one, they try to wrap up the storylines, and I don't know, something about these movies became stale. After a while. I mean, they've done them with Ian McKellen as Magneto. Mm-hmm. They've now got two actors to play Professor X and two actors to play Magneto, so it kind of gets confusing.
Mm-hmm. This is Dark Phoenix.
They focus on Jean Grey, who has the kind of has an ability like Professor X, would you say? But you're kind of the comic book aficionado.
This is the sixth X-Men movie, and they're trying to... I don't know, go some... Like, they tried interweaving both of the movie series. Mm-hmm. So this new one... is about this character, and she basically gets inhabited, right?
Inhabited by an evil
spirit.
Yeah, this like evil space force that just likes to go around and kill planets, you know. Like, and that's what she's got in the storyline. In the comics, it's actually a really, really good storyline. But the problem is when you have something that's written down or like in a comic, you know, you're already out there in imagination land.
Yeah.
When you try to put it on a screen, it doesn't always work.
It doesn't
out that
really
well.
I mean, it's hard to make this story come together because it seems like recycled parts put together,
right.
And they're trying, because you have Sophie Turner, who I think can be something.
Yeah, she's Jennifer Lawrence's Mystique.
Yeah, and she's going to have the same problem that Bryan Cranston had after Breaking Bad. He's going to have to separate, her Game of Thrones character from what she does, and I didn't see a lot of that in this role. I saw a lot of of Sansa Stark, who just kind of, I keep seeing, okay, Sansa Stark's got powers, so it's going to be hard for her to separate that, but Michael Fassbender almost saved this movie. He's so good as Magneto.
This isn't based on a true story.
Yeah, I was going to ask
that. Happened yesterday.
Oh, okay. All right. How many ARDs for the sixth in the series of X-Men? How many ARDs
you know,
for Dark Phoenix?
When I watched it, it was three, but now it's come down to a 2.5. I think there's three really good scenes in the movie, but overall, it's just kind of missing something for me. So I'm going to give it 2.5.
Wow. All right, here we go.
Get it.
All right, Dan.
All right, two more movie lines before we get to your third movie.
And they're getting harder?
Yeah, they're going to get a little more recent. See, I kind of was in Scott's era.
All right, good.
So they're going to get a little more. They're going to get a little more recent.
Maybe a little hoo-ha. Maybe a little bit like that recent.
All right. Well, not really that recent.
What are you looking at, Butthead?
Okay, here we go. You ready? Here we go. On three. One, two, three. Girls, this is Lou. Lou, these are girls.
Your hand's still up.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm stymied again.
Girls, this is Lou.
Yeah.
Is that in Casino?
Nope.
I almost wanted to say it's an animated film, but I don't think it's an animated film.
Here's another line for the same movie.
Oh.
Now, the Triple Lindy. Now, who was that guy?
Back to School.
Yeah, how the boys.
Yeah,
that was Rodney Dangerfield. When he walked in, the guy that was Rocky's corner man.
Burt Young. Yeah.
Burt Young was his bodyguard, and he was like this scary looking guy. And Rodney Dangerfield walks up to these girls and goes, "Hey, you want to go have some drinks with my friend?" And they're like, "He looks kind of scary." "Oh, I don't mind him." And he walks over with these two young girls, and he goes, "Girls, this is Lou. Lou, these are girls."
Since you brought up that movie, I have my two favorite lines is with him and Burt Young, and he goes, "You know, is he going to be okay?" "Yeah, but that's his trigger finger. He broke his trigger finger." And when he talks about, "Gosh, these guys are crazy. Back in my day, they sacked the quarterback. They went after his family." It's just the best line. They're sitting there at the bar, and he's trying to freak out his son. It's good stuff.
All right, one more, and then we'll get back to your third movie. Ready?
Okay, keep going.
I'll be sure to drop my arm this time. Okay, ready? One, two, three. "Would you all mind if we danced with your dates?"
Scott.
Oh.
Animal House.
Oh,
come
Scott
on,
is just
man.
All over.
Wow.
Scott is just God. All
okay,
over.
I'm bringing Scott to the next movie trivia.
You should see what he does with Bill's history trivia. He just kills all the
things.
Oh,
yeah.
Everything.
Frank's about to have an aneurysm.
And he's sitting over like a silent assassin, too. He looks at me like he can do my books and now, beat me in trivia.
As our movie reviewer, have you seen the movie Animal House? Because I know you're a younger guy,
I
than,
have.
Guy than me.
It's great. Yeah, John Belushi, man. He's so good in that movie.
All right. Just make sure. What you got next?
It's a tragic story with him, too. Have you guys ever watched Saturday Night Live documentary? I'm missing the name. They did one 2 years ago, and it was all about him. And he was just, he was almost like a Chris Farley back in the day. He was so funny, but he just could not control that drug addiction.
Fun fact about Chris Farley, do you know when Shrek came out, right? He actually voiced the entire thing of Shrek.
And nailed it.
Oh,
yeah,
he did?
Before, yeah, and
it,
I mean, there's
video
of
it. They didn't run with it?
Well, he died before, like, you know, they could get the fine tweaks in there, so Mike Myers ended up taking over.
He did the whole movie, and they said even the producers of Shrek say, "We like Mike Myers." He kind of put that foreign accent on it.
Yeah.
But the Chris Farley blew it away.
And
Chris Farley blew it out of the water.
The thing is, that footage is somewhere in a vault, in a room. I just want to see that. Can we just release that? You know, see if Adam Sandler can get some clout.
The only thing I think they did for it, like when you've got the audio tracks and it's got all the characters in there, they did the storyboards of them. So you don't actually get like the moving footage. You get the really, really rough draft.
Well, there are two documentaries about the making of Caddyshack and the making of Animal House that people need to see. It was incredible how they put those two films together. And what Bill Murray, who I absolutely, everything he does, I just start laughing at before he even says anything. What he did with the Carl Spengler character in Caddyshack and what Belushi did with the Bluto Blutarski character.
Carl Spengler.
Sorry, I got
not Speckler.
Did you watch the new Bill Murray film where he's fighting zombies and the dead don't die?
I want to see that.
It's just Bill Murray being Bill Murray for like 2 hours.
Those two things. If you want to see really funny people making really good movies that last and are still funny, those two were amazing.
You know who his stand-in was, don't you? It was John Hadley.
That's right.
It was a Cinderella story out of nowhere, you know. Dude.
Hey, speaking of John Hadley, I want to talk about something briefly that we talked about yesterday on the air. A caller actually called in yesterday and said during our tech segment that he had upgraded his phone and that the app for 590 The Fan would not work. And I'm like, well, that's odd. Well, I just upgraded my phone to an XR, and I went and hit on the app, and it wouldn't work either. It was saying that the Apple Store no longer has this app. Literally, as we sat here in the studio yesterday, I texted John Hadley and a couple of other people in the know that work at this station that deal with our app. And then it eventually got to Jim Hewer and then John Hadley, and he and I were having like a three-way conversation about, you know, what's going wrong and who's saying what. And then it was happening to their phones as well. And so Jim Hewer apparently pulled an all-nighter last night and got on with Apple and got behind the scenes and rolled up his sleeves and dug in the trenches and got the problem solved in the following manner. If you've upgraded your phone to an Apple 10 or to an XR, the old 590 The Fan app will not work on that phone if you just touch it. Like if you iCloud all your stuff and then bring it back down, you have to completely delete the app and then reinstall it all over again for the app to
work. That's something I have to do. I have a 10. It's just gone. It just doesn't work. Doesn't load.
If you just upgraded to a 10, what you'll hit the 590 The Fan app and it'll say this app is no longer available in the Apple Store. It's a glitch. Man. And so they had to work that glitch out. So now everybody that upgrades, tell your friends, if you're listening to the podcast, so forth and so on, blah, 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 whatever. Let everybody know via text that the app only works on 10s and XRs and the newer phones as Apple moves down the road if you delete the app and reinstall. I don't know why. I don't understand how apps work. I just know that that's the answer.
There you go.
There it is. What's third?
A Netflix film with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston. I think it's the second film Adam Sandler signed a deal with Netflix to do, I think, four movies. And this, they play a couple, which, yeah, Adam Sandler gets to kind of make out with Jennifer Aniston.
I like Just Go With It when they did that. I really like that movie. Hilarious. Dave Matthews was in it, picking up coconuts with his butt.
Let me tell you why.
Because they're buddies in real life.
Let me tell you why Jennifer Aniston deserves the boing. Because in We're the Millers,
she was a stripper who convinced
the Mexican drug cartel leader not to execute her and the rest of their family by stripping to a song. I mean, this gal had to be in her mid-40s, and I mean, she looked like marquee material you'd see on a billboard over in Soje.
Yeah, she's held up really well over the years.
I was stunned at how good she looked when she did that.
Let's put it this way. Have you ever seen the breakup with Vince Vaughn where she doesn't show a lot, but she walks back to the bedroom holding a Diet Coke, wearing just about nothing. And Vince Vaughn's look is just classic. It's basically all of us going,
That is the most painful movie to watch if you are going through a breakup.
It's absolutely right
on the money.
It's accurate.
Yeah, Jon Favreau plays his best friend, but all those scenes where they're having arguments, those are so realistically written. And, you know, I thought it was underrated. I mean, I'm not a big fan of her because I don't think she has a lot of range. I think that she just kind of plays the same kind of person.
What are you talking about?
Now, did you? Let me tell you where
Jennifer
Aniston?
Where
she was really
good. She's
that
chick from Friends in everything.
She was
Marble Boss.
She was great in the movie where Mark Wahlberg was the rock singer and she played his girlfriend.
Rockstar.
Rockstar was an awesome movie. She was outstanding in that movie.
Yeah, and I think she could be good, especially in Horrible Bosses, where she plays a despicable character. But, I mean, most of the time...
A boss that we all want, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't argue with you there.
When it comes to looks, man, she gets an A+. But, yeah, she's nearing... I think she has to be nearing in her late 40s and her 50s.
So she's with 50. Adam Sandler in a new one on Netflix?
They play a couple... It's called Murder Mystery. It debuted on Friday. It's an hour and 30 minutes. It's so quick. They play a couple... You know, he's the deadbeat, you know, cop who doesn't take his wife on a vacation. She wants to go to Europe. So he finally surprises her with a Europe trip, and they go, and they get involved in, like, a Clue-like murder mystery.
Is this a series?
No, it's a movie. It's one movie. It's a one-off. And they're on this boat. They kind of befriend this rich guy played by Luke Evans, and they get on this very rich yacht, and over in the middle of an argument, somebody lights go out, and somebody dies, and they don't know who did it. So it kind of kicks off a mystery film, and it's got a lot of laughs.
There's only three people on the boat when this happens?
There's about six.
Okay.
And it's about Terrence Stamp plays the father who is rich, and all the kids want his money, And so, you don't know which kid maybe tried to kill the guy. And so, of course, they suspect the Americans on the boat, Aniston and Sandler's characters. And there's comedy in the movie, and I think Adam Sandler can be good when he's kind of unleashed a little bit. He's kind of like Vince Vaughn, where if it's kind of a lame script, his humor kind of gets strangled. He has to have a little bit more. He's got to be able to be himself. The movie's not that great. I think that Aniston and Sandler do as much as they can to lift up the material, but it's almost, maybe it's unintentionally bad. I don't know if they're trying to be this bad on purpose, but, and it's on Netflix, so it's not going to cost you anything. So if you're a really big Jennifer Aniston fan or a really big Adam Sandler fan, you can watch it, but they're going through the motions folks.
Something can stink, but if it ends well, I'll still give it a thumbs up, even if it kind of drags along. Does it at least end well?
They do kind of a couple endings, right? When you think you know who it is, it's not them, and it kind of happens a couple times. And there is a little bit of the final shot of the couple where they end up. It kind of gives kind of a very knowing glance at movie history. So it has a little bit of smarts to it, but I think the person who wrote it was just like, let's just put these two people in a movie and just let them be themselves. Like, Aniston's the wife that doesn't trust, and she gives her husband a bunch of crap, and Sandler's the deadbeat husband who tries to be a detective, but he keeps failing the exam. So it's very bland characters, but they do what they can to give them a little bit of life. So if you like those two, you'll like the movie, but it's nothing special.
How many ARDs?
Two. A solid two. I mean, it's not one, it's not bad, but it's not three either. So two ARDs.
All right, Dan.
Now, Scott, you know what that reminds me of? And I don't know that anybody, maybe Dan Strauss will know this. What was the Kathleen Turner movie? Was that the one where she faked her own death and the guy wakes up in jail at the end, then he realizes that she's alive?
Ooh.
Is that the one where he breaks into the...
Is Chris Christopherson? Is that who it was?
With Kathleen Turner? William Hurt?
Where there's a boat explosion and William Hurt.
I think it's
William,
Body Heat. Have you seen that?
He breaks... Well, this is not allowed anymore, but she's standing in sort of the atrium or the little vestibule of her building she's in, and he's standing outside, and he takes a chair or something or a piece of pottery and breaks the window and goes after her, and she doesn't say no. Today he'd probably be arrested, and maybe rightfully so.
Right.
But in 1980 that was hot.
But that's the
movie though.
The way Buffa explained that ending,
yes,
it reminded me of that ending where you don't really know who did it, and then at the end he realizes that she's double crossed him and that she's really alive and it's her girlfriend who's dead because they found a burning body and couldn't identify
it. And he played a private detective,
and he's like, and he realizes he wakes up in jail and he realizes she's alive, and then you see her like on a beach at the end of the movie getting away with all the money.
Yeah, and
getting away
there's with a part in the movie where pretty much early on I picked a character. I was like, it's got to be that one. And then
is it as boring as that one on the train with Kenneth Branagh, The Clue, which I left in the middle
Murder
of.
On the Orient Express?
Yeah, you know. That was horrible.
That one wasn't bad for me. It just dragged. It was so slow. I mean, if you're going to be a murder mystery, you have to have some kind of excitement to keep the folks invested. But, yeah, that was a drawn-out one. And wasn't Johnny Depp in that movie, too?
I didn't like that.
Yeah, 5 minutes after they killed him.
All right,
that's why I give you all the respect, Dan, because you got to sit through this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there are some movies where I leave, and I was like, well, I mean, for example, let's just move on to DVD. Dumbo comes out this week. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go watch Dumbo. Just watch the animated one. The movie version with Danny DeVito and Colin Farrell is horrifically bad. I mean, I watched it and I was like, this has to be a comedy, but I don't think it is.
I saw the trailer for it. I'm like, that might be something I didn't be interested in seeing.
Those 2 minutes are the best you'll get,
Yeah, Dumbo, that movie that was out? Are you talking about, is it coming out on video or something?
It's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. And it came out, I mean, and really it's a quick turnaround. When movies have a quick turnaround from the theaters to the Blu-ray rack, that means it didn't do well.
It looked really bad. Everybody I heard that saw it didn't like it.
Yeah, Michael Keaton is in it. It's a good cast, but man, Ava Green, who I think is gorgeous, French actress, she's in it, and there's like four or five actors in that movie that are great, and hopefully they got paid well, because it wasn't a good movie. Danny DeVito, who I think is hilarious, is not good in the movie either. So that comes out on DVD. Do not watch that movie. But you can watch, and I feel like, Frank not being here, we're talking about Yellowstone. That came back last week, and it got renewed for a third season.
Kevin Costner?
Yeah, Kevin Costner playing John Dutton, kind of like the Tony Soprano of ranchers. is the best way to be able to put that. He gets himself into more trouble. It's a good role for Kevin Costner, and I think that it's only that second season, so you have time to catch up. It's on the Paramount Network. But one of those things where before a season starts, it gets picked up for another season. So it's got picked up for a third season. So a lot of stuff coming your way. Speaking of TV, City on a Hill, great Showtime series, premiered its second episode. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get in at the ground floor of a very good thriller drama with Kevin Bacon, Jonathan Tucker, and Aldis Hodge. It's a great cast. It's about loosely based on the 1992 Boston Miracle, where the attorneys and the cops and the FBI kind of work together to really reduce crime. That's what they call it. I mean, and the idea that they're able to take away the crime rate, especially the robberies, is kind of crazy. But Ben Affleck, Matt Damon produced it. It's really good.
And he comes across as a dirty cop in the previews. Is that accurate?
He is. He is kind of like that. It's like the opposites attract. The Aldis Hodge plays kind of a, you know, aspiring prosecutor, district attorney, who wants to clean out, you know, the gutter of Boston. He mm-hmm. wants to take out the bank robbers, but also the bad cops. Kevin Bacon is an FBI agent who just despises the Boston police, but he's also crooked, but he knows how to get things done. So, you know, in a way, they kind of have an unlikely alliance where he's going to help Hodge, you know, get this bust and this bust, but he's also going to be able to have a prosecutor at his beck and call, be able to get maybe a lead on cases and have the upper hand on the cops. So it's kind of like, you know, the light and the dark working together. It's going to have a combust feeling where, you know, they're going to end up going against each other. But for the first season, they'll probably work together. Jonathan Tucker, who is kind of like a face you see in movies and TV shows, he's great as kind of the main bank robber. And he's also got a family. And he's one of those reluctant guys who can walk the straight line, mm-hmm. but because he's so good at robbing banks and he kind of leads his crew, he can't resist, you know, padding that landing, getting more money for his daughter, getting more money for his family, instead of just walking that straight line. So he's very good. He's been on a lot of shows, you know, some of those shows that don't really make it past the season, but he's really good. He's kind of a journeyman actor. He plays a good role here. The cast is fantastic. It's a lot of character actors, meaning that you're going to see their face and go, okay, I know who that is, but I don't know their name. It's called City on a Hill. It kind of took over the main spot on Sunday nights on Showtime.
After Billions got done.
Billions is done. And so that's going to go for about 10 episodes, and I think that will lead us right into Ray Donovan's next season.
Okay.
So.
Excellent. What else you got, anything?
It's Forrest Gump, 25th anniversary coming mm-hmm. up. That's a great movie.
Great movie.
Speaking about Tom Hanks, you know, that's a movie that I think when it comes on, you automatically lose 2 hours of your day because you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to watch a scene. And then you're watching, you know, the Bubba Gump scene. And then
all right, let's go. This is actually one of the movies that I had a line for. I want to talk about Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Because it's one of my favorite movies of all time. I know everybody in here likes it. I'm going to do here's the line I was going to do that you would have immediately guessed this one,
yeah.
By the way. The line was, "Sorry, I'm moving to Black Panther Party."
Yeah.
So that was going to be you would have gotten that one. You would have gotten that one, right? Well, okay, yeah. Favorite scene.
Lieutenant Dan.
I got his you scene
that was in.
He's got that.
No, it was after he beat up the guy tackling Jenny in the scene. So wait, time out. Go around the room. Start with you, Limey.
Robin Wright.
Favorite scene of Forrest Gump. Take it away.
When he's I was running. That one, mm-hmm. when his legs start working at the front and he's telling mm-hmm. the lady at the bus stop, that's my favorite one, because just the look of shock on the little actor's face when his leg braces come off and he's running down the road, I thought that one was my favorite.
Where he runs past the football field.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure that that's accurate. I think when he told the girl, "I was running," I think when he said that was after Jenny broke his heart and then he took off on that cross-country run. Or was that when they were chasing him and throwing the rocks at him.
That's when they were chasing him and throwing the rocks at him, and that's when
he
started to run.
Right. Off
yeah.
his legs.
That one was just, I just wanted to run. I think that's what it was.
It was a great scene, because it was a scene that involved bullying. It was a scene uh-huh. that involved the lesser physically capable of combatants prevailing.
And the look on Tom Hanks' face when he's telling the story. He has that little smile on his face.
Well, that's the scene with the famous quote, well, run, Forrest, run. Mm-hmm. That's where, like, you know, right. you first
heard
run,
it. Forrest, mm-hmm. run.
Yeah, right. right.
So your favorite scene of Forrest Gump is the bullies are chasing him on the bike. He busts out of his leg irons, and he goes across the field and tells the gal on the bus stop, and from then on, I was running. All right, Scott, what's yours?
It's so close, but it's going to sound sappy. When he brings Jenny back to the house when she's sick, I just think that is the purest love, without being sappy, the most generous.
Because she broke his heart a few times, but he loved her through everything.
Mm-hmm. But that was the purest form of love, and I know it's not the most popular one, but for me, I think about that movie and I'm like, that was what that movie was about, was unconditional love. So
yeah.
It's a lot like the Giving Tree book, only like in human form.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite.
Strauss, you got a favorite? Hey, Strauss. Dan.
He's talking to Bill.
He's telling Bill his favorite.
Dan scene. Strauss, we're going through our, since Dan Buffa brought up that it's the 25th anniversary of Forrest Gump, we're going around the room and we are talking about our favorite scene. The movie Forrest Gump, this being the 25th anniversary, do you have a favorite scene from that movie?
Wow. Probably.
Keanu Reeves at a cameo.
Keanu Reeves.
Wow.
No, I think when he carried Bubba out of the... out of Vietnam, out of the jungle.
He keeps going back to find him.
Yeah, he kept going back and pulling people out, and then he pulled Bubba out.
Yeah.
That look on his face, that look on... The actor, I'm going to mess up his name, Mikowski Williamson. He's a very good actor. He's been in so many great things. But, yeah, he looks up at him and goes, Forrest. And I'm like, all right, I'm breaking down. That's it. Slice an onion.
There is another scene.
What's the other one?
The other one is
when
he jumped off the boat, when he saw, who did he see? Lieutenant Dan? He saw Lieutenant Dan. He jumps off the boat, and then the boat goes flying into the pier or something. Yeah. Crashing.
Like, yeah. Oh, no, the best part, he goes, that's my boat.
Yeah.
I actually ate at a Bubba Gump shrimp restaurant down in Florida. There are restaurants called Bubba Gump shrimp.
Vegas. They have them in Vegas, salad. Too.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Bubba, what's your favorite
scene? My favorite one is where he goes to see his kid, and he wonders if his kid's going to have the same problems. Mm-hmm. It's Haley Joel Osment. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's sitting there, and Tom Hanks, who I just think is a phenomenal actor, starts to break down. He's like, is he going to have the same thing? Is he going to be like me? And then Robin Wright kind of comforts him. Jenny says, I mean, it's just a great scene. Then he goes and sits down next to his kid, and they watch TV. As a dad, that's just kind of that's an incredible scene. And there's not a lot of dialogue. It's just all Tom Hanks.
See, you guys, so Limey went, like, you know, kind of sentimental, and Scott Sherman went, you know, love,
romantic.
And Dan Strauss went romantic, and you went sentimental, and maybe that's just kind of a sign of, because my favorite scene of the movie is comical, and I liked all of those scenes that you guys are talking about, but my favorite scene of the movie is when...
I gotta pay.
No, the superintendent of the school district comes to the house, and he's talking to Sally Field, and he goes, Mrs. Gump... Getting out of school, you have to be here. Your boy's here. And Sally Field goes, ain't there something that can be done? And Forrest goes out and sits on the front steps, and he hears, the guy walks out of the house, and Forrest looks at him. Guy looks at him and goes, boy, your mama sure does care about your education. And Forrest goes, I laugh out loud every time I see that. I look forward to that scene every time.
The kid who played Forrest Gump was really good, a young kid.
So 25 years. You know, we
25
were
years.
We were talking about that on a show one day last week. We were talking about this being the 25th anniversary of something. And I was, the O.J. trial. Frank talked about the O.J. trial one day for like a day and a half. It was unbelievable. He had like 100,000
We facts. Watched that in school. They stopped class.
And I started looking up things that happened 25 years ago, and one of the second or third highest thing behind the O.J. trial that came up was Forrest Gump came out that year. And the thing that blew me away right underneath that, that's 25 years old, and I can't even believe this, is that Kurt Cobain died 25 years ago.
Wow.
25 took his own life. Years ago.
And he kind of reminds me, you lose a guy like that, it's like when Jimi Hendrix didn't take his own life. I mean, he overdosed on sedatives, but, you know, those young talents, imagine they got 5 more years to make music. I mean, they were both so young. I don't know how Kurt Cobain wasn't
He's in the 27 club.
Yeah, I mean, and
Jimmy
Hendrix,
was pretty. Janis Joplin, Morrison.
They're all 27.
They were all 27 when they died.
And I think if you,
I didn't.
I think it's really close, but I also think Otis Redding was 27.
What about
plane crash?
How old was? Valerie, the girl that did Valerie.
Valerie. Yeah, I think she's 27.
I think she was.
Yeah,
27. Oh my goodness, Amy Winehouse.
There you go.
It's amazing.
I take the year off between 26 and 28.
Yeah, just watch them.
Go on the beach.
I look back and think of how little I accomplished when I was 27 years old, how immature I was at 27 years old, and I'm just thinking these people became these mega stars long before they were 27. I mean, just imagine the level of maturity that we all had here as we went through our young 20s to have that kind of stardom and fandom. It doesn't surprise me, honestly, that these people fell off the face of the earth or committed suicide or overdosed or something in between. It doesn't, because we're all immature at that age.
And
all of a sudden have millions of dollars in your pocket and millions of adoring fans as opposed to just blunky Scott Sherman and Tim Woodburn trudging through campus hoping to make it the next day and wondering where next Sunday's lunch is going to come from. You know,
I ain't exactly knocking the place down at 51.
I'm still immature.
We're still trying.
When I was 27 years old, I bought my house. So my first house. So I started drinking bourbon when I was 27. That's my big anniversary.
Hey,
that's a symbolic.
I was reminded that
a symbolic thing.
Batman, the first Batman with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson as the Joker. That's 30 years old.
30 years old since Tim Burton. And really, you know, a lot of filmmakers owe a lot to that movie because that was the first film to really be daring and be bold about and be really tell a dark superhero tale and actually have it be popular.
Do we have to get some spots in here for the top of the hour, Limey?
No, we get to the top.
All right, sounds good.
And really, one more thing to say about Meryl Streep is going to be 70 years old on Saturday. And she is boing? Still great.
No.
I think Bridges of Madison County, Meryl Streep got a boing, but not now.
I get sick of Meryl Streep.
She's everywhere.
They show her every. They show her every time, and like in the awards, the award stuff. They always go to her, and it's like. Ugh.
And also, Avengers fans, they're going to put out Avengers Endgame back in theaters with an extra couple scenes. And I think it's cool, but
I'll probably go watch it.
But I think they are trying to catch Avatar for that number one, because I thought they were going to catch James Cameron's film, but they didn't catch it the first time. So they're going to try to catch it as a number one film of all time. It is number two right now, Avengers Endgame. Comes out Friday, I think, for a limited run with a couple extra special features on there. They'll tack on a couple scenes, but they're going for number one. They're coming for you, James.
Two more movie lines before the hour's up. We'll see if you can get them. Okay, you ready?
I think there's one you get. 17.
No, you would have got the last one. You would have got the Black Panther party one. Okay, ready? Here we go. Ready on three. 1, 2, 3. You're my density.
Oh, Dan.
Yep.
Back to the Future.
Nailed it.
Good. Yeah.
Do you remember that scene?
Christian. Oh yeah, he was in the diner.
All right.
It was back in time.
Is that the guy that tried to kick Johnny Carson?
Yeah.
Crispin Glover,
the most creepiest guy on the planet.
He tried to kick Johnny Carson?
You really think I should cuss?
He kicked him in the head. Tried to.
All right, one last one. This is my favorite movie of all time. Scott will probably get this, but Strauss, I don't know. We'll see. Okay, here we go. On three. 1, 2, 3. No, I don't have any Blue Oyster Cult, but I'll let you know when they come in.
Damn.
Yep.
Oh.
Fast Times.
Yes.
The other movie we talked to each other through.
Sean Penn. Oh, my God.
What a great movie.
Whatever happened to that actor, the guy that played Damon in Fast Times?
Yeah.
Robert.
Fell off the face of the earth.
Robert. What was his last name?
I don't remember.
He was great in that.
Hey, Robert Guillaume.
Hey, Rat, I found your wallet. I mean, I just don't know why. I thought he was so good in that movie, and you IMDb him, and he's in things that you never saw again, and he just fell through.
Robert Romanus, I think, was his name.
Right. Who ordered the pepperoni
pizza? Don't forget,
pizza.
Rat, always play side one of Led Zeppelin 4.
And then he played Led Zeppelin 2.
But the incredible, because Cameron Crowe was able to get the rights to Led Zeppelin songs that nobody could get until Cameron Crowe did it again when they did Almost Famous.
Yeah, the only person that has better soundtracks than Quentin Tarantino is Cameron Crowe, because he gets those authors. I think he used to write for Rolling Stones. So I think he has a good connection there.
Almost Famous, one of my favorite movies. About him.
Dan Buffett, thanks again for being here in the 4 o'clock hour. Give the folks your email address and give us your sign-off.
Buffett82@gmail.com. Email me anytime. I will respond. I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of
them. All right. You've had enough of them. Great job, Dan Buffa. That was good. That was good.
I like the trivia.
You got three movies, and you got a DVD set, and a Netflix series, and two Netflix series, a DVD set, and three movies all reviewed in that segment.
That's, and some trivia.
That's hard work. Yeah, I spliced a little bit of trivia in. We are coming up on the top of the hour here on 590 The Fan. Ashley Schnabel is our news intern, who's sitting in for Tim Woodburn, who's sitting in for Frank Opinion. If you can follow that, Domino and Bill Clevel will be along in the 5 o'clock hour, as will Mike Evans. Scott, you going to stick around for the 5 hour as well? Huh?
Yeah.
All right.
See.
Outstanding. You're listening to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on 590 The Fan. It's 5 o'clock.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. President Trump says he doesn't need an exit strategy on Iran because he's ready for whatever the country does next. The Trump administration just imposed additional strict sanctions on Iran this week after Iran shot down an unmanned American military drone. Speaking at the White House today, the president defended pulling out of the Iran nuclear accord.
The deal was a horrible deal. It was no good. It was no good. It ended in a very short period of time.
The conditions at migrant detainee facilities are said to be of concern to President Trump. He said today that the facilities are in better shape than they were during the Obama administration and urged the Democrats to work with him to change asylum laws. Trump discussed the state of the border, saying the wall is heavily